In the next keynote that we'll recite, Vayikonen Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu, at the Art School 182, if you have the Rosenfeld 102. Now this kina has a private place. Because this kina, not only in terms of the story it tells, but in terms of the basic underlying hashkafa that it reveals, there's a very important statement to the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches, Kasha Misasan Shel Tzadikim Kisreifas Beis Elokeinu. That the loss of a righteous individual is no less than the loss of the Beis HaMikdash itself. The Gemara makes a comment in terms of why we fast for Gedaliah ben Achikam. How could you have a pasuk in Zechariah that equates the Tzom HaChamishi, the fast of Av, with the fast of Gedaliah, the fast over one person? Okay. Now, in terms of Kasha Misasa Shel Tzadikim, sometimes I think that Yoshiyahu HaMelech may be the least appreciated figure in all of Jewish history. What he represented and what he meant to Yirmiyahu HaNavi. So I'm going to spend just a few moments this morning trying in a futile way to do justice to who Yoshiyahu was. Yoshiyahu was the son of an enormous Rasha, who himself was the son of an even bigger Rasha, Yoshiyahu ben Amon ben Menashe. And Yoshiyahu becomes king at 8 years old, obviously some process of regency that's involved, and he's the melech for 31 years. And we'll read the psukim in just a few moments about Yoshiyahu's spiritual achievements, but his stature was enough to inspire in Yirmiyahu a belief that the Churban could be averted. Yirmiyahu becomes the Navi 13 years into the reign of Yoshiyahu. Again, it will last 31 years. And Yoshiyahu's commitment to Torah Hashem is so complete, it defines everything that he does to the Jewish people, that Yirmiyahu is literally convinced that this could be the man. This could be the man. And when it wasn't, and we're going to talk about the circumstances of Yoshiyahu's death, the death is very important to understand the context that we live, it was as crushing a blow to Yirmiyahu as Korban Beis HaMikdash, because he knew it was over. After Yoshiyahu, there are only four kings. First, Yehoahaz, who only reigns for 3 months, and then Yehoyakim for 11 years, then Yehoniah, who's for 3 months, and then Tzidkiyahu for another 11 years. So basically 22 years and 6 months. After Yoshiyahu, it's all done. Tzidkiyahu, the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Okay, we're going to come back to the number 22 years. It plays a very important role in our kina. So Yoshiyahu is this figure who's born into Rishus. He's followed by Rishus. He's like this island of righteousness in the middle. And again, Yirmiyahu believes that this is the one that can extract the Jewish people from what appears to be a fait accompli. And we're going to talk and read some of the psukim about who Yoshiyahu was, and what it was that he accomplished, and his level of inspiration, and how he was able to truly inspire the Jewish people when everything seemed lost at the 11th hour to engage in a tshuva, where the Navi describes it as the greatest tshuva movement in Jewish history. And that's why I say Yoshiyahu sometimes seems to me the most underappreciated person in all the history of Klal Yisrael, you know, because he didn't ultimately, it wasn't enough to avert Korban Beis HaMikdash. Had he averted Korban Beis HaMikdash, then, you know, we would be talking about Yoshiyahu the way that we talk about Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen, nothing less. But it doesn't diminish from the career that he had. So I already spoke about the fact that Yoshiyahu, from a religious point of view, was a completely self-made man. If he learned anything in his father's house, in his grandfather's house, it would have been rishus to a level that you can't imagine. V'gam dam naki shafach min asheh harbe mod. His grandfather was an incredible murderer. Amon, the Navi says, he continued in all the ways, in all of the ways of his evil father Menashe. And then, of course, Yoshiyahu is born. Let me read to you from Sefer Melachim Bet, which, again, begins to tell the story of Yoshiyahu. I want to draw here in introducing this kina from both Torah Shebichtav as well as Torah Shebaal Peh, and again, to give a full sense of who Yoshiyahu was. Ben Shmona Shana Yoshiyahu b'malcho. Yoshiyahu was 8 years old when he became the king. U'shloshim v'achash shana malach b'Yerushalayim. His reign would last to 31. Everything he achieved by the age of 39 in life. V'shem imo yedidah v'atadayam ibotzkat. Vayas hayashar b'nei Adonai, vayelech b'chol derech David aviv, v'losar yaminu smol. He did that which was upright in the eyes of Hashem. We're going to have in this week's parasha, v'asisa yashar v'atov b'nei Hashem elokecha. So much of the history of the Nevi'im is ish hayashar b'nav yaseh. People did whatever they want. What was Yoshio interested in? What was yashar b'nei Hashem? And this pasuk could make me cry. Vayelech b'chol derech David aviv. Then who did he look to as his true father? Not his Russia father, Amon, not his Russia grandfather, Menashe, but if he had to look back 10 generations, so he would look back 10 generations to find chizuk in the path of David HaMelech. We'll see that he surpasses David HaMelech in this regard. It's remarkable. Vayehi b'shmon esrei shana lamelech Yoshio, 18 years into his reign, 5 years, once Yirmiyahu becomes the Navi. Shalach HaMelech HaShafan Ben Tatsuyahu Ben Mishulam HaSofer Beis Hashem Limor L'chud Yershuas Adonai Badi V'ad Ha'am U'v'ad Kol Yudal Dibrei HaSefer Nimsa Azeh Ki Gidolach Hamas Adonai Asher Hinitz Davanu Al Asher Lo Shamu Abusenu Al Dibrei HaSefer Azeh La'asos Kechol HaKasu V'aleinu. What happened was is that Chilkiyahu the Kohen Gadol found a Sefer Torah, and the Sefer Torah was open to a section, Sefer Devarim, that predicted great suffering for the Jewish people. And Yoshio, since the age of 8, had already been sensing that we have to get back on track. Now, 18 years into his reign, he's all 26 years old, right? We're all 26 years old. He says, it's not enough. We have to re-intensify our commitment. We have to go deeper. And he says, look at everything that's found in this section of the Torah, and in particular, section of the Torah, Parshas Kisavo, where the Torah says, Arur asher lo yakim es divrei atara zos lasos osam. Asher lo yakim, what does it mean? The Ramban quotes him in Yerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi basically says the following. What does it mean when the Torah says, after, says, Arur makere ehu basasa, Arur masi gibul re'ehu, all these things that you would do in private. Arur asher lo yakim es divrei atara zos. The Ramban quotes from a Yerushalmi in Masechta Sota, and he says, what it means is the following. Laman vilimeh, vishamar, v'asa. A person who learned Torah and a person who taught Torah. A person who guarded every mitzvah. Vilokiyem. But he didn't try to influence society around him. He didn't try to have an impact on people. Try to inspire people. Hareza bichlal arur. That person, despite his personal piety, is bichlal arur. The Yerushalmi goes even further. The Yerushalmi says, lo lama v'lo lime v'lo shamar v'lo asa. But he was mekayim, but he recognized that he was in a position of influence. He should try to do the right thing. Maybe he's not personally observant, but he can do something to strengthen Torah the community. Hareza bichlal bara. So basically what happened 18 years into his reign is that Yoshio said, for all of my personal piety, for all of my yashas, it's not enough. You're the one who can make all the difference. And Yoshio at that point, after discovery of the Sefer Torah, starts moving and shaking heavy and earth to get the Jewish people to throw off hundreds of years of Avodah Zarah. Let me read the psukim that tell the result of this. V'gamis ha'vos v'es ha'yudonim v'es ha'trafim v'es ha'gilulim v'es kol ha'shikutzim. All of the various forms of Avodah Zarah, Asher Niru Beretz Yehuda v'Yushalayim, Be'er Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu destroyed them. Why? It's no secret. L'ma'an Hakim, Es Divrei HaTorah HaKsuvim Al HaSefer, Asher Matzah Chilkiyahu HaKohen Beis Hashem. What was his motivation? It was one puzzle. Arur Asher Lo Yakim, Es Divrei HaTorah Zos. I need to impact society around me. I'm the Melech. I have the authority. I have the ability. I have the resources. I have to do it. Now listen to this pasuk. V'chamohu lo hayalifanav melech. There was never a king. That would include who? David. He sought out at the age of 8 in drawing inspiration from David. I tell you, he surpassed David. He surpassed David. V'chamohu lo hayalifanav melech asher shav el Adonai b'chol v'avo, b'chol nafsho, b'chol me'odo, k'chol toras Moshe, v'acharov, lokam kamohu. Tell you, Yoshiyahu is the most underappreciated figure in Jewish history. He surpassed David, he surpassed Shlomo, nobody would match him afterwards in terms of the totality of his commitment. But nevertheless, it was too late. And this is something that Yirmiyahu didn't personally believe. He was so taken by Yoshiyahu that he felt, there's no way that Hashem won't reverse his edict. Anybody know which Navi? It actually wasn't a Navi, but who saw it and said, even Yoshiyahu won't be enough? Yirmiyahu couldn't see it. He was crushed when Yoshiyahu died. We'll talk about that in a second. But who saw it? Chulda HaNaviyah saw it. She saw it was too little, too late. She was the one that said, even Yoshiyahu is not going to be able to avert the catastrophe. However, as the Navi concludes here, Ach lo shava Adonai mecharon ha-kol ha-gadol asher achara po b'yudal kol ha-kasim asher hichiso min Hashem. What Menashe, grandfather of Yoshiyahu, done was so bad, there was just no way out. And even for all of Yoshiyahu's greatness, there was nothing more that could have possibly been done. Now, we all know from the Haftorah second day, Yom Tov Sheni of Pesach, what do we read about? What was Yoshiyahu's sort of flagship project in terms of making sure the Jewish people were doing tshuva? We read it on Pesach, so that's a good giveaway here. But what was the famous thing that Yoshiyahu did to ensure that Klal Yisrael was fully on board with tshuva? The Pesach, the Korban Pesach of Yoshiyahu. Remember the first day of Pesach, we read about Pesach Gilgal. We talked about Gilgal a few moments ago, but how Yoshua did the Bris Milah for all of Klal Yisrael so that they could actually have the Korban Pesach. The second Haftorah that we read is the Haftorah of Yoshiyahu, and he chose the Korban Pesach. Why the Korban Pesach? Why did he choose to focus his energies there? Because we know that the Korban Pesach is the defining Korban of Klal Yisrael. We made the Korban Pesach originally Mitzrayim as our way of saying, Mishku kuchula chamtson mishpachoseichem v'shachtu ha-pasach. Mishku yideichem mi'avodah zarah. It's about separating ourselves from the Avodah Zarah. So the Korban Pesach always had that significance. It always said, we're going to slaughter Toavas Mitzrayim. The Seah itself was a sign of Avodah Zarah. Like we read this morning, Mekriyas HaTorah, Josh was reading it, Oh, Hanisal Kim Avola Kachaslo Goy, Mikarev Goy. Until the Korban Pesach, we were a nation that was ensconced within the Egyptian nation. We were over the Avodah Zarah just like them. And Yoshiyahu understood that if he was going to take a stand against the Avodah Zarah, Mimela automatically meant that he had to take a stand for Korban Pesach. And the Navi again testifies that the Korban Pesach that was offered during the days of Yoshiyahu was in fact the Korban Pesach that surpassed any Korban to Pesach, as the Navi says, B'yom ha'aleisi es b'nei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim. There was never a Korban Pesach. There was never a devotion like we had with Yoshiyahu. A little bit about the circumstances of Yoshiyahu's death, which are so very, very, very important. And again, important for us to take into account in terms of how could it be that such a righteous person would die. Who can just tell me what happened with Yoshiyahu? How did Yoshiyahu die? Right, so he died in Megiddo, exactly. He caught in Megiddo. And what were the circumstances? It relates directly to this theme of Korban Pesach. So the Egyptians were great power at the time. The leader of Egypt was a man named Paro Necho, and he was not at war with the Jewish people. He was going to the north to fight against Asher. Remember, during that time, the two great powers in the world were basically Mitzrayim, and then there was a northern power. Sometimes it was Ashur in modern-day Syria. Sometimes it was Babel after Babel conquered Ashur. Remember, Ashur is the one that exiled the first 10 tribes, Sancheir. Then after Ashur is defeated by Babel, Nebuchadnezzar comes in and he exiles the rest. Okay, so you have, you had the revolution here, right, between Philadelphia and New York. Okay, Israel, let's say, is New Jersey for these purposes. And the Pasuk says, In Parshas Bechukosai, V'cherev lo savor ba'artzecha, okay, that the sword shall not cross through your land. So what this literally means is that there's going to be shalom and asati shalom ba'aretz u'shchavtem ve'ein ma'charid v'cherev lo savor ba'artzechem. But Yoshiyahu and with the work that we've done this morning, you'll be able to understand why he took this position. Yoshiyahu was not prepared to allow the cherev of Paro Necho to enter the land of Israel. Because what was his basic goal? We talked about it with the Korban Pesach. He wanted to separate the Jewish people, of course, from the Avodah Zarah in general, and in particular from the Avodah Zarah that we had begun to pick up in the time. So Yoshiyahu makes a stand. And he says to Paro Necho, I will not grant you passage through the land of Israel. So the Gemara in Tainus tells a story. Let me read to you from the Gemara in Masechet Tainus about the demise of Yoshiyahu. Again, it wasn't that he made a mistake that was a mistake somehow that, you know, of personal greed or that he gave into a taiva. He did what he thought was right in terms of his lifelong project of separating Klal Yisrael from Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Tainus Chaf Beis says the following. Tanu Rabbanan, Cherev She'amru, Eino Tzarich Lomar, Cherev She'eino Shel Shalom, Elo Afilu Cherev Shel Shalom, She'ein Lecha Cherev Shel Shalom, Yoser Miparo Necho. Okay, there was no Cherev of peace more than the Cherev Paro Necho, because Paro Necho, the king of Egypt, had no intention of going to war against the people of Israel, and yet Yoshiyahu resisted. He didn't want to allow Israel to be used as a thoroughfare so that Paro Necho could go to war against Ashur. V'yavol pichein nichshol ba hamelech Yoshiyahu. Shenemar v'yishlach ilav malachim le'mar maliv alach melech Yehuda. So Paro Necho was surprised that Yoshiyahu was standing in his way. He says, I don't want to go to war with you, Yoshiyahu. I'm just trying to get to war against Ashur. I have no ill intent. I have no malevolence directed against the Jewish people. Lo alecha tahayom ki al beis melchamti ve'elohim asher liv halani chadal lecham elohim asher imi ve'al yashri sechan. Paro Necho is pleading in these psukim with Yoshiyahu, do not allow this to become a war between myself and yourself. Ma elohim asher imi amar Rabbi Yehuda marav zo avodah zarah. So he referenced Paro Necho basically wanted to take an oath in the name of his avodah zarah that he was not going to harm Yoshiyahu. So Amar, but Yoshiyahu, again, his gander was up because, you know, his whole life was dedicated to this unrelenting war against the Avodah Zarah that had infected and metastasized over Klal Yisrael. So Yoshiyahu says, Ho'il v'kabatach be'Avodah Zarah, since Paro Necho is trusting Avodah Zarah, yachil nalei, I should go to battle against him and I will be successful. The psukim in the Divrei Hayam and Beis, the 35th chapter, testify to the horrific death that Yoshiyahu suffered. Vayoru hayorim lemelech Yoshiyahu, that he was pierced by arrows. We'll see in the Kina that we're going to read. He was struck by no fewer than 300 arrows. His body was bleeding like a kavra, the Kina says. The way that, like, you know, you have a sieve or something that strains, you know, noodles, and the blood was coming through 300 holes in his body. Vayor hayor the melech Yoshiyahu. Vayomer melech labadav. With his last breaths, he says to his abadim, "Have iruni ki echalesi meod, mai ki echalesi meod." Rabbi Yehuda Merav melamed shasu kol gufo kekarba, that his body had been pierced in so many locations by the Egyptian arrows that it was literally like a sieve. The blood was rushing out at such an intensity. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yonasan, Mipnei ma nena Yoshiyahu, how did this happen to Yoshiyahu? Mipnei shahaya lo limalech b'Yirmiyahu v'lo nimlach, that he should have consulted Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu would have clarified for him that he shouldn't depose Paro Necho. My darash, what was his mistake? V'cherev lo savor v'artzuchem. My cherev, what does it mean, cherev? Ilei mecherev shena shol shalom v'aksiv natati shalom ba'aretz. Ela afilu shol shalom v'hunyon yodeya. So the Gemara says that fundamentally Yoshiyahu was right to oppose Paro Necho, but the generation didn't really deserve the full fulfillment of this promise. When Yoshiyahu was dying, Yirmiyahu made it just in time to see if I could be maybe at three scenes in Jewish history. I would have liked to have been at this scene. Yirmiyahu, who put all of his hope in Yoshiyahu, who truly believed that Yoshiyahu was going to save the Jewish people from Korban Beis HaMikdash. And Yirmiyahu comes running, and Yoshiyahu is lying there, clearly dying. This is the most crushing moment of Yirmiyahu's life, for sure. And Yoshiyahu just has a little bit of strength left to say last few words. But you can't hear them because he's so sick. He's dying. It's not audible. You have to lean really, really closely to hear what is Yoshiyahu, the most righteous king that ever lived. What is he saying? So ki avadi chanav shechaza Yirmiyahu, savasa say become irashcha. Yirmiyahu can't hear what he's saying, but he sees that his lips are moving. So Amar Shemachas Mishalo Milsa Lo Mahakta. So Yirmiyahu started to get worried, because now Yoshiyahu is dying, and if Yoshiyahu is dying, something must have really gone wrong. Maybe Yoshiyahu was involved in some chait. Maybe what Yoshiyahu is expressing is some bitterness against God, that this is the fate that he met after a life of total righteousness and 31 years of leading the Jewish people in an unprecedented and unparalleled movement of tshuva. So Amar Agav Tzare Gachin. So maybe Yirmiyahu thought to himself, okay, whatever he's saying, he's just saying because he's in physical, just the pain is unbearable. But he suffered a misa mishuna. He was literally cut up to pieces. But then Yirmiyahu leans over closer. He's literally, Yirmiyahu, his body is almost on top of Yoshiyahu's body. And you can't say this, Tina, without understanding the relationship between Yirmiyahu and Yoshiyahu. So Yirmiyahu is on top of Yoshiyahu. He's listening for the words. So gochen v'shameh dekamatzik ale dina nanavshe. That what were the last words that Yoshiyahu spoke? Yirmiyahu is the only one who heard them. Amar, so the last words that Yoshiyahu spoke, Tzadik hu Adonai, kifihu marisi. God is the righteous one, for I have violated his will. Those are the last things that Yoshiyahu said. Only Yirmiyahu heard it. Pasach ale ha'ishaita, and at that moment, Yirmiyahu cried out, Ruach apenu, Mashiach Hashem. You were the life, the ruach in our nostrils. Like it says in Sefer Bereishis, Vayipach b'apav nishmas chayiv, that God breathed life into Adam. So Yirmiyahu said, you were the ruach ha'peinu, Mashiach Hashem, the anointed one of Hashem, the king. You were the only thing that gave us hope. So it's this moment, incredible poignancy, where Yoshiyahu HaMelech is matzdik es hadin. He did one thing wrong in his life. He says, okay, I deserve to die. And at that point, Yirmiyahu understands that it's all over. Ruach HaKenu Mashiach Hashem, as we say during Eicha, Nilpar V'Shchis Osam. Now that Yoshiyahu is gone from the scene, there's going to be no more hope. Now, of course, we know it took another 22 years. So the question is, of course, why did it take 22 years? I just wanted to direct you this amazing line at the end of the Kina, which explains, and this is something important for us to remember in life in general. So this is, again, the very end of the Kina, Vayikonen Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu, and you have to understand the relationship between the two of them. So it begins in the Art School 182 and Rosenfeld 102. So the last section of the Kina says as follows. Tala, second to last paragraph, Tala be'esrim ushtayim meharos shasos, that the destruction which really should have followed the immediate death of Yoshiyahu, there was nothing left, but Tala be'esrim ushtayim, 22 years it was delayed. Ki saftu lo eicha be'esrim ushtayim osios. Why was the Churban delayed another 22 years? Because in Eicha, Yirmiyahu included a special kina for Yoshiyahu. Remember, the fourth parak of Eicha is not a national kina. It's a kina which is just a eulogy for Yoshiyahu. Eicha yu'am zahav, yishnah kesem atov. So for each pasuk that Yirmiyahu wrote for Yoshiyahu, who was his closest friend, it was his hope, to every single sentence in that hesped was worth a year. That Hashem said, for every line you wrote about Yoshiyahu HaTzadik, I'm going to delay Churban a year. Which teaches us about the significance of Hesed in general. Like the Gemara in Shabbos says, a person who cries for an Adam Kasher, Hashem saves every one of those Dema'os. And when unfortunately you have a person who's an Adam Kasher and they're not Nisfat Ke'alacha, terrible things happen. So the only reason that we had 22 years following, right, in Yehoyachaz and Yehoyakim and Yechonia, and then finally Tzidkiyahu, the only reason that those 22 years ever even existed was because of the 22 psukim in the fourth parak of Eicha, because Yirmiyahu was the one who appreciated Yoshiyahu. And so hopefully we should all try to appreciate Yoshiyahu HaMelech. You can't judge people only by the result. Had it been up to Yoshiyahu, we would have avoided, it never would have been a Churban Beis HaMikdash. But Yoshiyahu was really amongst the greatest that ever lived. He was Arash or Lo Yakim, as Divrei HaTorah Azos. He took that to heart in a unique way. And even though, of course, we couldn't avoid, in the end, Korban Beis HaMikdash, as Chulda HaNaviyah predicted, we have to appreciate everything about Yoshiyahu. And this Kina tells the story of Yoshiyahu. We'll say it carefully and slowly, so you can appreciate everything from year 8 when he took over, to the finding of the Sefer Torah in the 18th year, and to the Korban Pesach, and then, of course, to the death, and how much he suffered in his death, and how he was Masdik as Hadin. Everything that we studied together now is incorporated in this Kina, the beautiful Kina that Yirmiyahu wrote for Yoshiyahu, who he saw as the savior of the Jewish people. Vayikonen Yirmiyahu al Yoshiyahu.